ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द बेस्ट अमंग एक्सॉल्टेड डिवोटीज टेक्स्ट नंबर 13। भोगेन पुण्यं कुशलेन पापं कलेवरं कालजवेन हित्वा कीर्तिं विशुद्धां सुरलोकगीतां विताय मामेष्यसि मुक्त बंध। माय डियर प्रहलाद, व्हेन यू आर इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड यू विल एग्जॉस्ट ऑल द रिएक्शंस ऑफ पायस एक्टिविटी बाय फीलिंग हैप्पीनेस एंड बाय एक्टिंग पायसली यू विल न्यूट्रलाइज द इम्पायस एक्टिविटी। बिकॉज ऑफ द पावरफुल टाइम फैक्टर यू विल गिव अप योर बॉडी but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems and being fully freed from all bondage you will return home back to Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace Shri S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, evam prahaladasyam shena sadhana siddhatvam nitya siddhatvam cha anaradvija gyeyam. There are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and the nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed siddha. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. This is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly, Narad Muni was the son of a maid servant, and therefore in his next birth, he attained perfection, sadhana siddha, because of having executed devotional service. Yet, he is also Nitya Siddha because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Kushalena is very important. One should live in the material world very expertly. The material world is known as the world of duality because one sometimes has to act impiously and sometimes he has to act piously. Although one does not want to act impiously, the world is so fashioned that there is always danger. Padam padam ed vipadam. Thus, even when performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management of papa punya, of pious and impious activities. An exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is Jivan Mukta. He is liberated even in this very life, in the material body. Hare Krishna. I would like to seek permission from His Grace Sinaji Prabhu and blessings and all the other assembled Vaishnavas before we discuss on Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading one of the most interesting chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because in this chapter the mood that we have to cultivate as a devotee is described. Lord Narsingadev, he is now wanting to give benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj. He says that I want to give you blessings one after another, ask. And what does Prahlad Maharaj say? He doesn't want anything. He says, I don't want to become a merchant, a businessman, who prays to God for some material thing in return. He only aspires for pure devotional service. It is said that people worship God or take shelter of Krishna for different reasons. Like the lowest level is we worship God because of fear. Like a child might obey the father because he's afraid. Similarly, there are many religions which, or many people who say that you follow, surrender to God, or you'll go to hell. You'll eternally burn in hell. For this is one way of motivating somebody to take shelter of God. The second level is, you worship God because you will get some reward. Or a child is told, obey your father, serve your father, then you will get a lollipop. You get something. So people worship God and they are told, if you worship God, you'll go to heaven and you'll enjoy so much. That is one way of motivating. The third is, we worship God because of a sense of duty. Oh, he is my supreme father, I have to serve him. And some religions, it's like a child wanting to serve the father because he is my father, he has given me so much, I feel gratitude, so I should serve him. Duty. And the highest is that religion, Save Pumsam Paro Dharmo Eto Bhakti Radokshare Ahetuki Apratihata Ayatma Suprasidati. That which is unalloyed, undisturbed, pure devotional service, only wanting to give pleasure to the Lord's transcendental senses. Love. Just like a child wants to serve the father because I love him. That is the highest. Aradhya Bhagavan, Brajeshatanaya, Taddhama Vrindavanam, Ramya Kachidupasana Brajavadu, Vargena Vakalpita. So, the gopis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, they are the highest, topmost devotees because they simply loved Krishna. They simply wanted to give transcendental pleasure to Krishna's transcendental senses. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj is aspiring, simply to love the Lord and render pure devotional service. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishil Rupa Goswami, he says, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Danavratam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. We are practicing pure devotional service when we are cultivating a desire to please Krishna's transcendental senses. If we are having this mood, then we are practicing devotional service. Somebody might say, Krishna should be pleased. That is the criteria. If Krishna is pleased, then we are practicing devotional service. Now, Krishna may be pleased. That is his prerogative. Krishna is supremely independent. So Krishna is pleased is very important, but for a sadhaka what is more important is the desire to please Krishna. Like, we can't say simply remembering Krishna is pure devotional service. Kamsa also remembered Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was remembering Krishna. And Krishna was deriving pleasure also from it. Krishna likes to kill demons, he enjoys. So somebody is remembering Krishna, and Krishna is also pleased. Does that become pure devotional service? The most important criteria is Anukulena Krishna, no, desire to please Krishna. So when we have a desire to please Krishna, when we are favorably inclined to please Krishna, then that Krishna notes that, and then that becomes pure devotional service. Like, for example, Mother Yashoda, apparently, externally, she was chastising Krishna. Krishna was afraid. Once Krishna was displeased with Mother Yashoda and he broke the pot. So Krishna externally may be displeased, but what was Mother Yashoda's mood to serve Krishna? So the acharyas give the example. Kamsa, maybe Krishna might have been pleased by Kamsa externally, and by Mother Yashoda he is angry. But Mother Yashoda is pure devotee, not Kamsa, because the desire to please Krishna. So this is what we can learn from Sri Prahlad Maharaj, that we have to cultivate this desire to please Krishna's transcendental senses. And now Narsingdev is offering benedictions. He is saying, my dear Prahlad, you will get all the results. You will come back to me. You will return home back to Godhead. And your glories will always be sung in all the planetary systems. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a very beautiful point. Amazing point he writes about management, expert management. He's writing how in this world, we may not want, but we create enemies. And Prahlad Maharaj himself is such a pure soul, but his father was inimical towards him. So what should we do then? Should we go on killing different enemies and solving problems? We may have to do the needful as sadhakas, but Prabhupada is giving us the sutra, the mantra to remember. A devotee should expertly manage. To do what? A devotee should expertly manage to think always of Krishna so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. For this is the key, Prabhupada is writing. Always remembering and always thinking of Krishna favorably. Praying to Krishna. Taking shelter of Krishna. And then Prabhupada writes another classic statement. This is the expert management. So we all have to manage our lives. We have to manage it in such a way that we can always remember Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, we are following so many rules, so many regulations, but the essence is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. What is that verse? Sarva vidhi nishedasyur etayur eva kinkara smartavya fatadam vishnu vismartavya na jato chita. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Because Kali Yuga, material world is, and in material world it's so bad that you may be the purest of pure, but we cannot avoid people becoming inimical against the process of Krishna consciousness. As long as there is desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we cannot imagine the extent to which the rebellious soul can degrade himself. We cannot even fathom to what extent a person can go. So in such an environment that we are living, we may not have any bad intention, but people will misunderstand you, they will accuse you, they will fight with you. So what do? Simply take shelter of Krishna. Always remember Krishna. I would like to give an example from Srila Prabhupada's life. Now, Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco. Now, this is an interesting scenario. We know that Prabhupada started ISKCON in New York. But New York was not as challenging for Srila Prabhupada as San Francisco. Because this January 1967, Prabhupada comes because Mukunda and Janki, they have already gone to San Francisco. They opened a small Radha Krishna temple. Prabhupada comes there. And it's the most bizarre place you can imagine. Prabhupada goes to Haight Ashbury district, which is filled with hippies. That was called as the capital of the hippies. It was a drug capital. Everywhere there were hippies taking drugs. In fact, there were so many hippies in Haight Ashbury district that the San Francisco Council, the municipality, whatever you call, they even seriously thought that the hippies are going to take over the state. That was a very serious problem. And suddenly Prabhupada would be in the room. Distressed youth would just jump into the apartment in the temple. And suddenly in the middle of the night, somebody would come. Crazy place. But because Prabhupada was absorbed in Krishna, he not only was himself peaceful and happy, he influenced so many more people to join Hare Krishna movement. It's amazing. Once when Prabhupada was doing translation, at night, 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the night, suddenly there is a knock on the door. Prabhupada shouts, he calls from inside, "Who is this?" No reply. Talk, 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 talk. "Who is this?" No reply. Finally, Prabhupada opens the door and he sees a young girl in her 19-20-year-old young girl. She's standing and staring at Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Yes, what is it? This is 1:30 in the night. What are you doing here?" She just keeps staring. Prabhupada says, "What is it? Speak up." She doesn't speak anything. Prabhupada gets angry. Prabhupada is about to close the door. She enters the room. Now, Prabhupada and this girl are alone in this apartment. So, Prabhupada instinctively comes out of the house. That is, he comes outside. So, when he comes out, the girl also comes outside and she pulls the door. And this is a self-locking door. So, now in the middle of San Francisco winter, Prabhupada and this girl are stranded out of his Prabhupada's house. And Prabhupada doesn't have a key. So, you can imagine what a crazy thing. And Prabhupada looks at her, what stupid girl, what have you done? And suddenly she looks at Prabhupada and she starts screaming, Ma, hula, 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 and she starts jumping. And Prabhupada just looks at her, what is this crazy girl, what is she doing? And Prabhupada starts thinking, now how do I get out of this mess? He doesn't have a key. Then he remembers Mukunda stays somewhere here, close by. So then Prabhupada starts looking for that house. And then he has to climb the stairs. And all hippies are lying on the ground. Somebody is urinating there. Somebody is in intoxicated state. Men, women. They are living basically like animals. So you can imagine the condition. How much it can disturb our consciousness. Prabhupada goes down, searches for... And all this while this girl is following. Finally, he locates Mukunda's house. He gets the key. Then comes to the room. And Mukunda gets angry with this girl. He says, stupid girl. Such an elderly Swami is doing so much work. Why are you disturbing him at 1:30 in the night? He was absorbed in translation. You are disturbing him. And she looks at him and says, you will not understand. You are a child. She is in an hallucinated state. So then Mukunda opens the door. And Prabhupada enters and looks at the girl and Mukunda. And girl again starts screaming, Ma, ula, ula, ula. And Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna. And then finally, Mukunda chastises this girl. And this girl goes away. And Prabhupada comes back. And what does he do? Continuous translation. This whole incident took 1 hour. So imagine something like that happens. You know, you're studying and there is some disturbance. Some news, some disturbance, social, political news. Can we be absorbed in Krishna? You know, these events, they suck our consciousness so much. Any political turmoil, anything. Terrorism. So much that we have no time for remembering Krishna. No time for so many hours wasted in front of television. 60 hours. So much chanting we could have done. So much praying we could have done. So much tangible service. But we allow our consciousness to be sucked. Sucked. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. Completely, he went back to his translation work. And next day morning, Prabhupada in the class made a very light remark about this. Because when he started the class, guess what? This girl was right in the front. And Prabhupada looked at her and said, oh. And then she apologized. She was a little sober that day, morning. And then Prabhupada said, oh, what this girl did yesterday, last night. You know what happened? He's telling the whole class. She came and she shouted, Ma, Ula. And Prabhupada made that sign. And I don't know if you've seen, there is one photograph of Srila Prabhupada with Prabhupada's eyes very big. And he's smiling. That photograph was taken when Prabhupada was imitating this girl. So you can imagine the kind of consciousness Srila Prabhupada had, completely absorbed in Krishna. Another occasion, 2 o'clock in the morning, one man knocks on the door, Prabhupada opens, and he starts shouting, Krishna, help me! I'm uncomfortable in this body, Krishna, help me! And he starts screaming. And he's not alone, police is with him. Police has bought him. They say that this man is crazy. He's harassing all of us in the jail, in the police station. So we thought, because he's saying Krishna, Krishna, we thought Hare Krishnas can help him. So the police dump this man in the temple and the police go away. Because the police are fed up of him. So everybody can imagine San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury district, all the crazy people, for them the sucker relief was Prabhupada's Hare Krishna temple. And there Prabhupada is in complete absorption in Krishna. For this man, and devotees counsel him for 5 hours. And Prabhupada comes at 7:30, gives class, does kirtan. Crazy people. One day suddenly, one man caught Prabhupada when he was walking. Prabhupada was not afraid of walking in San Francisco, in that crazy place. Prabhupada said, I'm a Calcutta man. I'm born and brought up in Calcutta. Nothing can scare me. Prabhupada was blissful. So one man caught Prabhupada and said, I am from Mars. I have friends in Mars. No, Prabhupada didn't say crazy man or didn't call the police. He said, yes, yes, there is life in other planets. And he showed him easy journey to other planets. Prabhupada preached to him. So you can imagine Prabhupada had to preach to such crazy people. It's not possible unless you are completely remembering Krishna. On another occasion, the devotees actually, by this time they became considerate. They realized, Srila Prabhupada is such an amazing person. We should not disturb him with such crazy people. Mukunda, Shyam Sundar, all of them. they realized that, oh, we should not disturb Prabhupada. We should leave him alone. But still, there were so many hippies and they just wanted to meet Prabhupada. There was one man called Rabbit. And devotees were trying their best to see that this man doesn't disturb Prabhupada. Because he was thinking, even if he was 1 mile away, people could know that Rabbit is around. And then one day, and the devotees would always tell him, no, no, you should not meet Swamiji. You talk to us. We'll counsel you. No, no, I want Prabhupada, Prabhupada. And one day, when Prabhupada was walking, he just suddenly caught Prabhupada. He ran and, I want to talk to you. Prabhupada said, come to my room. So Prabhupada goes to his room. This man comes to Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada spends hours with him preaching. So what Prabhupada has done, we can't even fathom. So Srila Prabhupada has preached in the most challenging circumstances where there is every chance of our consciousness getting completely degraded. But Srila Prabhupada was perfectly remembering Krishna. Like Prahlad Maharaj, living with so many demoniac people, was always remembering Krishna. One Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, one man came and suddenly in the middle of a class, somebody starts shouting, somebody starts screaming. This was very common in San Francisco when Prabhupada would be giving classes. Every day, somebody or the other, something would happen. Something sensational. And the devotees who are sober, they would be bewildered, but Prabhupada would be extremely cool. That's amazing. Once when Prabhupada is giving class, one man suddenly got up and said, my mind is troubling me. So we may laugh at this, but Prabhupada was compassionate. He could see that these people are suffering like anything. And Prabhupada said, please chant Hare Krishna. For this man said, he kept saying the same thing. My mind is troubling me, my mind. And Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. Finally, this man was just screaming, Prabhupada then asserted on the microphone. He said, no, that's not a microphone, sorry. He just shouted. He said, I'm sorry. I have no other medicine. I have no other explanation. I have no other answer. Just the holy name. Please chant Hare Krishna. You'll become all right. And thus Prabhupada was pleading with him. Appealing to him. So Prabhupada had to plead, beg, chastise. He had to do so many things to see that Krishna consciousness spreads. And there would be one man who would come every day with a big fat book and he would argue with Prabhupada, shout, he would give a big lecture. Prabhupada would smash him. And the next day he would go, again come back with another argument. Every day Prabhupada would smash him. And he would disturb everybody by asking so many challenging questions in the middle of the class. So one day when he asked as usual, Prabhupada heard him and simply ignored him. And then continued talking to the others. So that man was defeated like that. And then after that he kept quiet. He never spoke. So you can imagine, Prabhupada was so expert because he was directed by Krishna. He could handle such a volatile and sensitive situations. Prabhupada was doing expert management because he was expertly always remembering Krishna. So everything happened. In the middle of the lecture, one boy suddenly entered the class and he said, Swamiji, there are riots going on outside. Come, only you can stop these riots. Come on, everybody get up, there is riots. Oh, shouting. Prabhupada said, yes, we are coming. No, no, there is riots, and you are shouting. Prabhupada said, yes, we are coming. Eventually the boy went. Prabhupada didn't have to go and there were no riots. Prabhupada knew. Prabhupada was not excited or troubled. So anything unexpectedly would just come up. And Srila Prabhupada had to face all of that. Once Prabhupada was giving a class. Now, actually, we should understand this point about how Kali Yuga, however good our intentions are, people will misunderstand. As Prabhupada is writing in today's purport. And Srila Prabhupada was also misunderstood in 8 Ashbury district by many hippies. Because they became kind of disturbed to see that Prabhupada is so equipoised, so happy. For they would try to take the center stage. They were kind of disturbed by Prabhupada's popularity, Prabhupada's preaching. For they would shout and abuse Prabhupada sometimes on his face. So Prabhupada would still practice what he is preaching here. He would remember Krishna. Once when he was giving a class, one fat girl, she was sitting on the window. And Prabhupada was giving class. And suddenly, middle of the class, she started shouting at Srila Prabhupada. She started abusing. And she said, you are just sitting here and giving lecture. Get up! Get up and do something practical. Go out! And so suddenly and so violently was her abuse that devotees were completely shaken. Nobody could move. Prabhupada was sitting quietly. And very softly murmured, which the devotees sitting in the front, they could hear Prabhupada say. Prabhupada said, "This is darkest of the darkness." So, Prabhupada would always face such terrible, terrible audiences. Once Prabhupada was giving class, suddenly one boy came and sat next to Prabhupada on the vyasas. But I want to speak. Prabhupada said, "We have question answer time." "No, I want to speak right now." No, "We have question answer. I want to speak." And he started shouting at Prabhupada, "I want to speak." Then Prabhupada said, "Okay, let us have kirtan." Prabhupada didn't give him a chance to speak. So when they had kirtan, this man was just staring at Prabhupada angrily, as if he was going to devour Prabhupada. Angrily, with menacing looks. And after the kirtan, they all sat down, and this man is still staring at Prabhupada angrily. Prabhupada had a custom. He would take out apple, cut that apple, and he would give Mahaprasad to everybody. So Prabhupada took an apple, cut it into 4 pieces, and kept the knife on one hand and apple on the other, and smilingly gave it to this boy. And this boy was staring at Prabhupada, and he looked, knife, apple. And the whole room was stunned with silence. There was a tense moment. And after a long and tense moment, there was a sigh from the audience when they saw that this man opted for the apples. And Prabhupada was extremely cool, equipoised, because he was remembering Krishna. So this background of San Francisco is very important to understand, because Srila Prabhupada couldn't antagonize them, because that was their place. 8 Ashbury was their area, and Prabhupada is a foreigner. Prabhupada couldn't alienate them, or he couldn't say something that could stir more trouble. He couldn't do anything like that. But Prabhupada had this amazing ability to control them. You know, like you pat a baby when the baby is crying, and you cajole, and you do something, and the baby becomes quiet. So Prabhupada, through his words, through his voice intonation, through his acting, you could handle such delicate, tense situations. You couldn't tell them, "This is a temple, behave properly." You couldn't shout. Because the whole land, the whole area belonged to the hippies. And these people, they would try to steal the spotlight from Srila Prabhupada. They would come and they would shout, "I am God!" And Prabhupada would hear them, and they would be very angry. But Prabhupada wouldn't sentimentally, you know, console them. These people would take the limelight, and they would speak in a very poetic way, very inspired speech, but after some time they couldn't sustain that. Then they would start speaking incoherently, all vague things. And then Prabhupada would say, "Okay, kirtan," and then he would start kirtan. Srila Prabhupada wouldn't coddle them or pacify them. Prabhupada would very coolly ask, "So you are God? What do you mean you are God? You are all-knowing? Are you omniscient?" He would rationally prove to them how they are wrong. Because he was absorbed in Krishna, he could maintain his composure without getting agitated. And some people would take it as a personal challenge, and they would continue fighting with Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, even if he couldn't convince that one person, he would try to convince the whole audience. And the whole audience would then support Prabhupada, and the energy would change. And that person would become quiet just by the... Without crushing that person, Prabhupada would quieten him. That was Prabhupada's unique, with superior intelligence. Mainly it was compassion. But because of his constant remembrance of Krishna, Krishna inspired Prabhupada to handle this whole situation. So Prabhupada was very sensitive not to injure anyone physically or emotionally. So that when the person eventually would shut up and he would just sit down, it is not because he has been hurt. It is just that Prabhupada would have outwitted him. You know, that was Prabhupada's unique genius. So you can imagine, this is the crazy situation in 8 Ashbury district. But what was Prabhupada's consciousness? He goes with the devotees for morning walk, and as they are walking, they come to that golden Stow Lake, San Francisco, and Prabhupada looks at the lake and says, "What is this tree?" And then he looks at all the trees, bushes, and then Prabhupada pauses and says, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going to Vrindavan, he went to Jharkhand forest." So Prabhupada starts speaking about the forest, because he's seeing so many trees and so many plants. And then Prabhupada describes the whole scenario. So Prabhupada's consciousness was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan. And then he had this amazing ability. Every time Prabhupada would see either Krishna, Vrindavan, or he would see from the pages of scriptures. Like when they were walking, and suddenly, this is in the middle of this 8 Ashbury district, in that lake, some swans were gliding across the lake. And then Prabhupada started quoting these verses from Bhagavatam, which describes pure devotees as swans and materialistic people as crows. You know, na yatra vachas chidra padam are rasho jagat pavitram, that verse Prabhupada would quote. And then Prabhupada saw many pebbles sand, he said there are many universes like the pebbles, and then he would speak on the universes, Bhagavatam, fifth canto, and devotees were eager to hear. This was a very intimate audience, unlike the temple where there would be crazy people coming in. And then suddenly some ducks were, you know, making sound. Prabhupada said, oh, we are getting disturbed by them, because one devotee went and tried to push away the ducks. Prabhupada said, no, just like we are thinking the ducks are disturbing us, the ducks are thinking we are disturbing them. So Prabhupada would give the spiritual vision, and then suddenly he saw some bird droppings, bird stool. He said, what is this? So devotees were thinking this is stool. Prabhupada said, no, this means that even the birds are attached to their trees. They have been living here for more than 2 weeks. So everybody is attached in this material world to his house. And then Prabhupada quoted a few verses from Bhagavatam. And old men were seen playing golf, and Prabhupada started quoting different verses from Bhagavatam, talking about the goal of human life. So Srila Prabhupada was perfectly Krishna conscious at the most challenging situation. Because Prabhupada's management technique was to hear and chant and come together, remember Krishna. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj always says, definition of management. Management means you manage things in such a way that excellent hearing and chanting can take place. That is the goal, ultimately. So if the goal is if we can remember Krishna, if we can absorb ourselves in kirtan, then we may have to do other things. We may have to do the needful. But if the foundation is strong, then we can survive. Srila Prabhupada was once in Paris, and Hari Vilas Prabhu, who was the temple president, was walking with Prabhupada, and there were cars going by. People were going to their office early in the morning. And Hari Vilas Prabhu was thinking, what a crazy place we are living. So many cars going and so many buildings, and he was just disturbed. And Prabhupada is walking, chanting Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada suddenly stops. And Prabhupada says, this is Vrindavan. See, he's bewildered. Prabhupada is remembering Vrindavan in Paris. And we may be in Vrindavan, we may think of Paris. You know, we may think of Mumbai and we may think of other places. But Prabhupada was always Krishna conscious. So, this is one thing that when we are facing an enemy in the form of the material energy or the circumstances in this material world, a devotee always tries to remember Krishna. And this challenging situation then becomes favorable for a devotee. Like Sachinandan Maharaj gives this story of when he was a young boy, he would take newspapers to different houses. And there was one particular house, he would drop the newspaper, they had a big board which said, beware of dogs. You would be very afraid to go inside that house. Just throw the paper from outside. At the end of the month, he had to go and collect the money. So he saw what to do. So he went in. And when he went in, very scared, suddenly this big, huge Doberman dog, you know, started chasing Maharaj, and Maharaj began to run. He was a young boy. And he came right in front of the owner of the house. He was sitting on a big couch. And he saw this young boy is running and the dog is chasing him. So this owner of the house called out to the dog by its name and said, quiet, quiet. And he made a sound. And the dog immediately became quiet. And the same dog then started licking Maharaj's feet. He became a friend. So then Maharaj gave this purport that similarly, we are chased by this material energy. Maya is compared with that particular dog, and how we are constantly threatened and facing trouble. But when we surrender to Krishna, the owner of Maya, then Krishna will arrange things in such a way that Maya facilitates the devotional service. So this is one kind of enemy that we are confronting according to Srila Prabhupada's purport. But sometimes karmis, you know, individuals, not just the material energy in per se, but some individuals are threatening and they want to disturb and jeopardize the Hare Krishna movement. At that time also, a devotee always takes shelter of Krishna. In fact, that is the time when we take shelter of Krishna more. During the famous Mr. N episode for the construction of the Shishada Ras Bihari temple, that whole episode took place, went on for more than 2 years, and so much anxiety, and then Mr. N died, then Mrs. N, she was not legally astute like her husband, but she was also very vindictive. She was the one who actually did this breaking of the temple. You know, she initiated that big problem. Mr. Ann had already died. So she was also so envious and so many problems happened. And eventually, after 2 years of struggle, finally, they get the land. And evening, they are signing the papers in that Jew land. Mrs. N is sitting, Prabhupada is sitting, the municipal commissioner, whoever is there, all sitting, and the papers are being signed. And complete silence in the room. And the only sound could be heard was of moving of the papers. So Giriraj Maharaj, he was recollecting later and he was saying, we were feeling as if two world superpowers are signing treaty. And that was the extent of the fight and tension that was there. And after that, Prabhupada said, now we'll have feast. They had a big feast, 13 items. You can read the Lilamrit. Lilamrit also gives the details of the items that were cooked for that feast. So they had a big feast. And after the feast, Prabhupada gave a class. What a class. And Prabhupada says in that class, so, in Hare Krishna process, there are no problems. We can't imitate that, but you can imagine, Srila Prabhupada is saying like that. There are no problems. Even earlier, when Mr. N one day came into Prabhupada's room and abused Prabhupada, and he said, I will break the temple with my own hands. And he abused Prabhupada and walked away. And devotees were shaken. But Prabhupada, next day morning, as usual, Bhagavatam class, program. In fact, at that very moment, Prabhupada had a very successful pandal program in Cross Maidan. They had book table, they had preaching, they had halwa distribution, they had big, you know, politicians coming and speaking. Everything was going on as usual, although they were in the midst of a very serious problem. So we can't avoid problems. We can't avoid such challenging situations. What we have to do is to take shelter of Krishna. That is the only hope we have. Now, sometimes we always think, you know, there are these people who are creating problems and there are so many enemies. But a sadhaka, he doesn't think that there are so many enemies outside. There may be enemies, but he's always focusing on the enemies within. It is not that the enemies outside are going to create problems. Our challenge is not so much the materialistic people disturbing us, but our own anarthas, lust, greed, envy, pride. They are our enemies. So our expert management should be to remember Krishna and do honest introspection and take shelter of Krishna and Vaishnavas in such a way that these enemies can be tackled. Once one devotee asked His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in a Bhagavatam class, Maharaj, what is the most terrible form of Maya? Most powerful form of Maya? So I was very excited to know the answer because it could be, you know, so many things are there. Maya has so many forms. Maharaj said, the most powerful form of Maya is, it depends on what is your weakness. Whatever is your weakness, Maya will take that as the most powerful form. And then he said, but whatever your weakness, one thing is the most powerful form of Maya, and that is pride. And then he explained how pride is the most powerful enemy in our heart. So as sadhakas, if you have to expertly manage to think of the Supreme Lord, we have to constantly work on overcoming this false pride that I am great, I am superior. Because this false pride can destroy. Thinking that I am very special, I am very wonderful. His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, before leaving this world, he once gave a very powerful talk. And he said, he told many of the devotees here, Radha Gopinath congregation and brahmacharis, he was giving class, he said, just because your spiritual master is special, don't think you are special. And then, you know, that whole class was on this theme that how we think many times, because Krishna is special, I am Krishna's devotee, so I am special. I always we think of I, so that was the theme of his class. So this false pride that I am very good can be disastrous. And one of the graphic examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam which highlights this is in the episode of Daksha and Lord Shiva. Like Srila Prabhupada example we gave, Prabhupada's example is similar to the example of Lord Shiva here in this episode. When so much cursing and counter cursing was going on in Daksha Yagya, Lord Shiva was completely equipoised, remembering Krishna. Now, the greatest astonishment of Vidura, who is asking these questions to Maitreya, is, my dear Maitreya Rishi, I am bewildered because it is not some common man fighting. There is a serious misunderstanding between three great personalities. Lord Shiva, Daksha and Sati. For then he explains, Vidura explains the position of Shiva, Daksha and Sati. There is a whole lot of verses which explains how it's a very serious issue. So sometimes we think, oh, pride is a serious problem. Oh, neophyte devotees are always fighting. Or, you know, we may think like that. But how false pride is so dangerous that even if somebody is externally very advanced or very senior, it can attack. Lord Shiva is completely equipoised, remembering Krishna. So Vidura's question is very interesting. He says, Shiva is the best of gentlemen. He is always remembering Krishna. He is so peaceful and renounced that he doesn't even have a house. But still Daksha was envious of him. It's amazing. Shiva had nothing. He had nothing externally to be envious of. Like once Lord Shiva, Parvati insisted that Shiva should have a house. So Lord Shiva built a nice house and then he called for Graha Pravesh. He called all Brahmanas and gave them charity. And they all went away. And at the end of the program, one Brahman came running. And he said, I didn't get any charity. So Shiva said, I have nothing left. Okay, you take the house. So that house also he gave away. He's so renounced. And then Vidura says, okay, Shiva is supremely wonderful person. Vaishnavana Metha Shambhu. He is Charachara Guru. He is Guru not only to the demigods and highly qualified people. He is also the Guru to low-class people, ghosts, hobgoblins. He is giving shelter to everybody. Who can be greater than him? He has his own sampradaya. Rudra sampradaya. Well, Vishnu Swami is the main teacher. For after explaining Shiva's glorious position, Vidura says, and what about Daksha? Daksha is not an ordinary person. He is also a devotee. And he is a thorough gentleman. And on top of this, Daksha had offered his favorite daughter in marriage to Shiva. So even if he had issues with Shiva, just because of his favorite daughter, you know, love for his daughter, he could have been okay with him. And then he says, then who is the third person involved in this? Sati. Sati means most chaste, most devoted. Jai Shri Shada Gopinath Nitai Gaur Chandra Shri Gopal Ji Bhagwan Ki Jai. All expert, all wonderful people. And still there is problem. So there can be problem even if everybody is very exalted. If one person is influenced by false pride, how there can be so much of chaos created. And what was Daksha doing? The most amazing part is, Vidura says, Daksha was conducting a yajna for the pacification of the whole universe. It's amazing. Just like I know a few years back in Andheri Sports Complex, I think ground, there was a big Vishwa Shanti yajna. And after a few days of that yajna, there was a big fight amongst the organizers and the trustees for the funds. Something like that is happening. Daksha is arranging universal pacification. Universe Shanti Yajna. And he is having fight with Shiva. He is the chairman of the Yajna. He is the main person. So he is astonished that there is a spiritual master of the whole universe. There is a thorough gentleman. And there is a most chaste lady. And still there is misunderstanding and fight. You know, if low class people fight, if in the second class compartment in the train, if people fighting, we are not surprised. But if some gentleman in tie, coat, you know, if they fight in the first class for seat, then everybody becomes, hey, kya chal raha. But that's what happened in this yajna. They were all cultured people. And then, and what was Daksha's issue? Just because Shiva didn't get up. Now, actually, that is not the issue. Throughout, for years, Daksha was getting angry with Shiva because I am so handsome, I am so beautiful. Daksha was so effulgent that even the fire gods, they would pale in comparison to his effulgence. So handsome. And he was thinking, I am great. And this ugly person has married my daughter. He is unqualified. So first you are thinking, I am great. And then he is insignificant. So it's a deadly combination. So his false pride had become so deep, so much envy, that when finally Shiva didn't stand up, he started blurting out so many bad things, and he started giving so much bad words. He said, he has Shiva has eyes like monkey, and my daughter has eyes like a deer cub, and is dirty, living in a crematorium, he has a garland of skulls and bones, he's filthy, he's a unscrupulous person. So many things he tells about Lord Shiva. And before saying all this, what does he say? He says, he's about to begin chastising Lord Shiva. But before he begins, he says, all gentlemen seated here, I want to tell all of you something very important. I'm now going to speak about Vaishnava etiquette. He says, I'm going to speak about etiquette. And please, please, please understand, nacha agyanam, nacha matsarat. I am not speaking out of ignorance or envy. So when we are envious, influenced by strong false pride, first thing we are convinced is, I am not envious. Actually, that is why envy, false pride is more deadly than lust in one sense. Because when a person is influenced by lust, you know, he knows he is lusty and he becomes humble. But envy is so deadly that a person who is affected by envy, he thinks, I am not wrong. Shishupal was surprised that nobody was supporting him in the Rajasuya assembly when he was cursing Krishna. And our problem is, we hear extreme examples of envy, like Gopal Chappal, Gopal Chakravarti, and we hear examples of Shishupal. So we think, oh, if this is envy, then I don't have envy because I will never do something like this. I will never put these tantric substances outside, you know, devotee's house, and I will never slander devotees like that. But envy manifests subtly for a devotee. So Daksha was thinking he is doing correct. And havoc he created, and he cursed, and after he cursed, he walked away. And then what happened to our Nandishwar, Lord Shiva's principal associate? He got angry. Now, he did the correct thing. He supported, if a devotee of a disciple, to support the guru. So Nandishwar got up, and he counter-cursed Daksha, but in his anger, he lost control, and he also cursed the others who were there. So Prabhupada says that Nandishwar was correct in not tolerating the insult to his master, but he should not have cursed the other brahmanas. And then Prabhupada said the entire issue became so complicated that those who were not strong enough forgot their position, and cursing and counter-cursing went on in that great assembly. In other words, material field is so unsteady that even great personalities like Nandishwar, Daksha, and many of the brahmanas present were infected by this atmosphere. So this is a very, very dangerous enemy in our heart, false pride. And Nandishwar curses all the brahmanas that you will, he says, Daksha, you will get a goat's head, and you will, brahmanas will be like this, they'll have to beg. And Bhrigu Muni gets angry that you are cursing all the brahmanas, and he starts flaunting his mustache, and he starts cursing all the Shiva's followers. And then the whole episode takes place, very unfortunate. And eventually there is Sati commits suicide in a later yagya. And then Veerbhadra comes. And what scene takes place there? Veerbhadra, because Bhrigu was always showing his mustache, he pulls off Bhrigu's mustache. And one of Shiva's followers, there is one of the demigods was showing his teeth and laughing. So he breaks his teeth. So this is a yagya conducted for pacification of the universe. So the essence, the point I wanted to make was this, that the enemy is within. Not that we have to worry about all the enemies who are attacking ISKCON or attacking us. So if we take care of this enemy and we cultivate the mood of being the servant of Vaishnavas, then a lot of problems can be averted. But the problem is, many times we don't want to confront our anarthas because that is a painful exercise. You know, we prefer talking about all the other problems and emergency situations and this service and so many other things, because this requires courage and honesty to admit. So a devotee, when they spend more time chanting Hare Krishna or doing core devotional activities, that is a little painful to the ego because that exposes us. So we may prefer to go in an achievement mode, or you know, we may try to do so many things, forgetting that I'm not confronting my own enemies. Like for example, recent this terrorism attack. Now the whole India is so absorbed in this terrorism impact that we are thinking the enemy is outside. We never think about the terrorism that is there in the country for last hundreds of years. Now, terrorism attacks took place recently. Now, last year in this Marine Drive, one few policemen they molested one college girl. Is that not terrorism? There are so many instances in India when father molests his own daughter. Isn't that terrorism? Nobody talks about it now. And there are spurious drugs selling in the market. Life-saving drugs are mixed with the chalk powder. Ghee, they're putting animal fat in ghee. There is abuse of children. There is so much terrorization. There is so much lust. As long as lust, envy, greed, pride is there in the society, terrorism can never go away. And the biggest terrorist who has influenced, who has created havoc, all the film stars, sports stars meet him. Politicians meet him. But the Indian police can't catch him. You know? It's amazing. So that means the enemy is within. We never bother about it. We prefer to talk about enemy without. Similarly, we have our own anarthas which we are not confronting. Prabhupada said the biggest emergency now is we are not taking to Krishna consciousness seriously. But we forget that and we focus on the enemies outside. So therefore, we have a very big challenge now to take shelter of Krishna and focus on our own enemies within and confront. And let us not get bogged down by situations externally which appear to be so challenging that we have no time for focusing on Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was in New York in 1966, and that time Vietnam War was going on. So you cannot imagine the volatile situation at that time. Like right now, the consciousness is absorbed. Our consciousness is absorbed in so much in some of the events that are happening now. And similarly, at that time, Vietnam War had taken the consciousness of all the youth. And Srila Prabhupada was giving a class, and suddenly he gives an example of Krishna telling Arjuna to fight. And all the hippies and youth who have come for that program, they are disturbed by Prabhupada's example, because all these youth are trying to avoid getting into the army. American army, American government is drafting all of them into the army. And they don't want to join the army. They don't want to fight. They are against war. And Prabhupada is saying, if God tells you to fight, you have to fight. So they are convinced about the philosophical logic point. But the example was something they couldn't digest. So they said, Prabhu, Swamiji, what this war, Vietnam War, what do you think of this? Prabhupada said, this war is insignificant. No, but the whole nation was engulfed. The consciousness of the nation was engulfed in that. Prabhupada said, emergency is Krishna consciousness. Become Krishna consciousness. After some years, everybody will forget Vietnam War. No. You have to address this problem. Prabhupada said, I'm not addressing this problem. If you are not addressing this problem, then what is your relevancy? Srila Prabhupada said, this is an actual emergency. Now let us see 2008. Is Vietnam War significant right now for us? So many things have happened and gone. But Prabhupada was always challenging his followers to rise above certain issues. And always, we have to do the needful. Prabhupada always said, we have to do the needful. We are not against that. But we can't allow our consciousness to be sucked away in such a way that we cannot remember Krishna. We cannot work on our own anarthas. That is the point Prabhupada wanted to make. Prabhupada was forcing and challenging his devotees, his disciples and followers to take shelter of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada himself in 1922, when he was walking on Ultadanga street with his friend Naren, Naren said, Abhay, there is this great sadhu, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, meet him. If I know, I have met already so many sadhus, I'm not interested. All his friends were forcing Abhay to meet this sadhu. Now, this is again very interesting, very, very important point. We have to meditate on this, because Prabhupada, by his dress code, he had clearly shown that he is a Gandhian. He is a freedom fighter. He was wearing khadi and he had abandoned his BA degree. He had forsaken that. And now, he is going to meet this great sadhu. And Abhay offers obeisances. And even before he gets up, Bhaktivedanta Thakur tells him, you should preach in the English language, Krishna consciousness. And Abhay is shocked, because he is from Bombay. See, now he had this culture of, he was a part of the English society, poetry club. So he was an argumentator, he was a good debater, he had good speaking skills, and already was a Gandhian. And here if this sannyasi was telling Abhay that you should preach Krishna consciousness, the first thing Abhay feels
is how can we talk about this? Because at that time in 1921-22, the whole India was burning with the issue of non-cooperation movement which was launched by Gandhi and the Ali brothers. Liaquat Ali and Shaukat Ali had supported, and it was a big thing. The whole country was in arms. It was a great agitation going. Gandhi was arrested for 6 years. He was put in jail. It was a big issue. We can't imagine at that time how much desperate Indians were for freedom. And they were all convinced. Abhay was convinced that freedom will solve all the problems. And then we can do bhakti nicely. Yes. Prabhupada said, this is a pastime. But Prabhupada says that he supported the independence movement because he was being assured by all the leaders that once we have freedom, then spiritual culture can be promoted. So similarly, we think, once this problem is solved, that problem is solved, that problem is solved, then my bhakti can go on nicely. So Abhay tells Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, who will hear your Lord Chaitanya's message when our country is still a dependent nation? First, we have to become independent. This was clearly a challenge. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur was completely unfazed. And for the next 2-3 hours, they had a big debate on that rooftop. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur dismissed all famous politicians of that age, of that time. He was taking their names and dismissing them as if they were of no consequence. He was just saying, this is an emergency. Krishna, only problem is lack of Krishna consciousness, and only solution is Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada comes down, defeated, and is proud. He's saying, I'm so happy that I'm defeated. And he changes. He becomes a follower of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. And the same thing Prabhupada did throughout his preaching. Second World War, huge mess. And Prabhupada writes articles. Somebody wrote, George Bernard Shaw made a statement. Gandhi's 75th birthday is being celebrated. How I wish it was his 35th birthday. And then Prabhupada writes a huge, powerful, big article on how you cannot wish somebody to be 35 years because time is very powerful. And Prabhupada talks about the power of time. Second World War is going on. Prabhupada was not compromising. Prabhupada was not saying that, okay, Second World War is more important issue. Once this is solved, then we will do bhakti. Always. Vietnam. And then 1971, General Yahya Khan has declared war on India. Prabhupada is talking to a reporter. And suddenly this reporter says, bombs, sirens are blowing. There is emergency. There is going to be death. And Prabhupada, very cool. Prabhupada is saying, if this war is not declared, he won't die. Won't death come? There is an emergency always. No, this is an emergency. Prabhupada said, yes, this is an emergency, but there is an emergency always. Prabhupada was forcing her to understand that we have to take shelter of Krishna always. So, this is actually an emergency, and there is a catastrophe, and we have to take complete shelter of Krishna now and tackle this enemy. Just to conclude, we discussed in today's class about Prahlad Maharaj's mood about prayers, how he doesn't want material benedictions from Lord Narsingadev. We discussed how he only wants devotional service. And then we discussed today's purport where Prabhupada talks about expertly managing to think of Krishna, and that is the way we can face our enemies. And then we discussed Srila Prabhupada's own example of how he was remembering Krishna in the most challenging circumstances, and he faced all the enemies. And then we discussed how enemies can come in the form of karmis also, like Mr. N's example, where Prabhupada revealed how if one is absorbed in Krishna, one can face those enemies. And eventually we discussed how the biggest enemy that we have to face is our own anartha or false pride. And we discussed the example of Daksha Prajapati. And we concluded by saying how there will be so many problems happening in the society on the political and social front, but Krishna consciousness is an emergency and we have to take shelter of Krishna. So this is the way we have to try and practice Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We can probably take some comments and corrections from Srinathji room. Any other devotees have questions or comments? Anandandavan room.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a wonderful class. Prabhuji, you are saying that whenever there is any problem in our life or when the difficulty comes, instead of going to that problem, we have to be attached to Krishna. And once we are attached to Krishna, then Krishna will solve the problems rather than we going for the problems as such. To some extent that way.
We have to do the needful definitely.
Yeah. So my question is, Prabhu, as you were giving an example of Prabhupada when all that Mataji came and everybody, Prabhupada was equipoised because he was so much focused on Krishna. But this is possible only when you are so attached to Krishna. When you have a taste of Krishna consciousness so much on the highest platform that you feel it, that without Krishna I have no hope at all. If a person is not on that platform, then what that person has to do? Because the problem is going to come on everybody, whosoever he might be in this material world. On one side the problems are going to come, other side our attachment to Krishna has not reached to that level. In that in-between situation which is there in our life, what should a devotee do? Because he knows it. Whenever the problem comes, my only hope is to completely get attached to Krishna. And once I'm attached to Krishna, Krishna will take care of all my problems. But I'm not so attached. My attachment has not come to that level. In between stage, what should I do?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that two realities in this material world, this crazy situation. Harinam and Vaishnavas. So if we take shelter of serious devotees, because Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite paro, tumara shakti aaj. So Vaishnavas were absorbed in service to Krishna. If we take shelter of them and take guidance from them and get attached to them, then even though the problems are there, but Krishna will give us the strength to face them. And we may be able to remember Krishna even in that situation. That is one thing. Second is Harinam. If we spend quality time chanting, then Krishna will help us, because Kali Kale Naam Rupe Krishna Avatar. So we are getting attached to Krishna if we spend time chanting. And whatever the problem, however serious it is not so serious that we cannot offer it to Krishna for healing. You know, we can take all those problems and offer it to Krishna. If we cannot do that, then at least be in the association of devotees, chant Hare Krishna. But it's true that we are not fixed up. This example of Srila Prabhupada is to inspire us, and we have to do the needful, definitely. But remembrance of Krishna and offering of prayers to Krishna is possible in the association of devotees and with a culture of chanting and service. If that is going on, then it's possible. Kumana sumanastvami yati asya padabjavo sumano arpana matrena tam chaitanya prabhum bhaje. So our mind is so contaminated right now. It's kuman. It's so much dirty things, so many anxieties, so many problems. Kumanastvami yati asya padabjavo. But somehow remember the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And sumano arpana matrena, if you offer suman is means a flower. If you simply offer a flower to the Lord in the mind, sumano arpana matrena tam chaitanya prabhu. For then the kuman will become suman if you offer suman to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means the mind will become beautiful. So we have to remember Krishna somehow and offer prayers. So I know some devotees who do few things which can be helpful. There are some devotees who as a schedule, as a regulative sadhana, they offer standard prayers to Krishna other than chanting, other than shelter of Vaishnavas. They spend quality time in front of the deities or, you know, in their own respective homes, and they offer prayers. So prayer, they have prayer sessions. And they also study, take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, purports. And Prabhupada's purports, they shake us from our slumber. Satsarup Maharaj writes, when we are standing in front of Krishna and praying, we are talking to Krishna. But when we are studying Prabhupada's books, Krishna is talking to us. So we have a chance of receiving mercy of Krishna by taking shelter of Prabhupada's books, by offering sincere prayers, and then chanting, spending quality time. And also some devotees have this exercise of journal writing. You know, they write, I got one Prabhupada's, quite a lot of quotations of Prabhupada, that writing your realizations also, it also helps. So like this, in the association of devotees, we can survive. On our own ability, we cannot. I'm glad you raised this point. Somebody else would like to add to this?
Okay, Ananda Mahaprabhu. Thank you. Vrishabhanu Prabhu, one comment and then we'll stop. Okay.
Prabhuji, in your very wonderful class, you talked about confronting our anarthas. That means we should admit our anarthas which are there in us and we should try to confront them. That may be a means to overcome them. Now, very often standing before the deities in some sublime moments, we may be aware of our subtle anarthas and we may beg of the Lord, you know, to free us from those anarthas. But is it also necessary for us to admit our anarthas with some senior Vaishnava devotees to truly overcome them? Because when we stand before the deity, maybe because of, I'm speaking about myself, not being in an advanced stage, the Lord doesn't tell me that this is the way you get rid of it. But should we, you know, speak about our subtle anarthas and anarthas with some senior Vaishnavas who may be in a position to tell us directly, this is what you have to do? Would this be the right approach to, you know, to eliminate yes. subtle anarthas from our consciousness?
Yeah, it's actually very easy to come in front of deities because, you know, deities don't, in a sense, they may not chastise us. We may not perceive the chastisement or we may not face pressure. But with Vaishnavas, there is always a danger or there is always a chance that our false ego might get crushed. It's more difficult to take shelter of Vaishnavas than in one sense, you know. Of course, it's very difficult to take shelter of Krishna also. So it's definitely very, very important to have confidential sangha relationship. And Guya Makhyati Prachyati, Rupa Goswami says, we should reveal our hearts. And then we should be able to face it, because when devotees help us, and it's very painful to reveal our hearts to senior Vaishnavas, actually, the false ego. If we are surrendered, if we can do that is great. Because as we spend more time with Vaishnavas and holy name, Krishna shows us the mirror, you know, of our anarthas. And it's very painful to see, because all the while I've been thinking, I'm a wonderful person, I'm a nice person, and suddenly, you know, somebody shows you a mirror. You're not so nice after all. So we avoid. So that struggle goes on. So therefore, Vaishnavas are the best means. Yes, Srinathji Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna. This is a very, very important question, not only for us, but in all religions, this is the problem. So we had this interfaith conference, you know, international interfaith conference, when we had great Christian devotee called Mother Teresa, and the Buddhists, this Dalai Lama and so on, when I was General Secretary. Muslims also, we had from this Chisti Ajmer, you know, chief of that. Our own people were there. So this discussion was the most important discussion. How we can purify ourselves, because that's the starting point. If we can't purify ourselves, then we can't purify anybody else and our life is useless. So then we listed out, because I'm an engineer, so I started listing out. One is, first anartha, Krishna says three, kaam, krodh and lobh. No? These are the three royal roads to hell. So kaam, lust. So Prabhupada repeatedly keeps saying that against lust, you always think of all women as your mother or your daughter. So here in the middle of the night, when that woman comes and bangs on the door, he's looking at her as a daughter. You see, trying to pacify her or whatever it is. Didn't get angry with her. So calm, against calm, you have to have the opposite development of that feature of compassion. As you have for your mother is ill or your daughter is not well. So you give compassion. And you take mercy. mercy is taken from someone, whereas compassion is given to somebody. Okay, so that was clear. So that is against kam. So that quality you have to develop systematically. How much percentage I have got today of compassion? How much mercy I gave to someone? Either 1%, 0.5%, 10%, 20%. Am I giving compassion or not enough? That is one. Then second come, krodh, anger. Because anger is something very difficult. And Prabhupada explained different types of angers. So one is anger within. You just, like a boiler, you are getting hotter and hotter till you blast. Otherwise you are anger like, a snake, you are hissing around everywhere. And then you'll bite somebody. Poison. So against anger, there is always the opposite, where you are trying to serve the person. Because you cannot serve a person if you are angry, if you see. You are serving means you are taking a menial position. So how can you serve somebody at the same time you are angry? It's not possible. So the serving is very important to curb your anger. Otherwise the anger will keep on going up and up in your life. So more service you do, the opposite means anger will start diminishing. Kam, krodh, lobh. Lobh is greed. Of course, we know all that. So against greed, donation. If you donate 5% of your earning, whatever it is, 5, 10, 15, 20, 50%, then that is the formula given by our Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrat Sindhu. So if you keep on giving donation, then your lobe will, the Ravan in the, within us, as Radhanand Maharaj says, the Ravan within us, 10-headed Ravan within us. He starts, we cut off one by one his head. So kam, krodh, lobe. Mo is illusion. Against illusion, you have to associate with devotees. Keep reading Prabhupada's books. So knowledge. So if you have more and more knowledge, means you have less time for seeing cinemas where there is no knowledge, reading, you know, just irrelevant books, there is no knowledge, or seeing TV, no knowledge. So associate with devotees of knowledge to get knowledge. If you want something from someone, that person must have it in the first place. Otherwise, how he is going to give you? So if you have courage, you can give courage. If you have knowledge, you can give knowledge. If you have money, you can give money. So, kam, krodh, lobh, moh. Moh is illusion. Against that, knowledge. Moh. Mother. Mad is false pride, which you just mentioned very nicely. So, humbleness is the...
Radha Gopina, Bhagwan ki, Jai Gopaldi, Bhagwan ki, Jai Nitai Gorchana.
Humbleness is the key. Tranadapi sunijena, tarorapi saishtunama, mani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. So, unless you develop a humble attitude, which also means serving attitude. But humbleness automatically will reduce your pride. It's just like taking antibiotic. When you got temperature, doctor prescribed some antibiotic. You strictly follow the formula, 3 antibiotics in a day or whatever it is, for 7 days, the fever will go. So similarly, this pride fever has to be killed by this antibiotic of humbleness. So humbleness is the secret. And how do you develop humbleness? By associating with those who have got humbleness. Means you get everything from those who've got that thing. Like somebody is rich, he will give you money. Otherwise, you associate with the beggar, you will get ability to beg only. Because he knows how to beg. So kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. Matsa is envy. Envy is different from jealousy. Jealousy is within your own mind. I am jealous of you because you are very rich, I am very poor, you got new car, I have got old car. But if at night I go and puncture your car, then there is envy. By putting action in the activity of jealousy, then it becomes envy. So Krishna says to Arjun, because you are not envious, therefore you will understand Bhagavad Gita. So understanding can only come if this envy is removed. And envy can only be removed by only one way. And that is by, again, going and requesting people that I would like to serve you. that your what you mentioned in your lecture, that your own internal feeling should be always there that I want to somehow serve. Because you gave the example of who was that? Yashoda Mai was also serving, and Kamsa was also serving, but Kamsa was not positively serving. So when you do positive service, then envy goes away. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Srinathji Prabhu. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.